I worked in IT for a guy named Mike Milken. And every year he puts on this huge conference that brings world leaders and billionaires together for conferencing called Global Conference. He would rent out pretty much all of the Beverly Hilton for a full 7 days. You can go to this if you like. It just costs thousands of dollars to do so. I am interested in hotel staff and hauntings, so I asked every staff member I could about any otherworldly experiences. I heard a couple of people talk about Merv Griffin, the game show creator, host, and composer. He bought the place in the 80s and loved to hang out there after he retired. After he died, the staff said that they would see him not as a ghostly shape, but as actual Merv, walking down one of the hallways near the kitchens occasionally. Ultimately, though, the cleaning staff was terrified of the 8th floor. It's not a tall hotel, and the 8th floor was a party-type room. It was a medium-sized banquet-type area with a low ceiling. It has a bathroom and a view of Beverly Hills with rounded red leather couches and maroon velour-sided walls. There's a curved bar and glass tables with razor blade marks on them from the copious amounts of cocaine that had been chopped up for consumption.
I didn't bring... Oh.
Yeah, someone forgot. This is a cold open. I knew you're going to try to weasel your way into this, Christian.
Sorry, man.
I know you see this room in your head right now. The story goes that there was a lady that would go up there and clean the place by herself after the parties were over. One night, she was almost done and finishing up in the bathrooms cleaning the sinks. She heard a girl behind her, then something brushed across her shoulder. She turned quickly around and no one was there. She turned back to the sink and there was a piece of gum where there had previously been none. She swore there was no gum in the sink prior as she was cleaning the sink when it happened, so that was her focus. After that, the cleaning staff would not go up there unless they had to at night, and then they would go in doubles. They also started to clean the floor in the morning, again with two people. My buddy and I had to go up and check this out. We were getting chills listening to the story and had to see for ourselves. So at about 9 p.m. we went up there as it was vacant for the night and we pretty much had run of the hotel. Right before we went up though, we saw one of the cleaning staff and told him we were going up, and he got this look like, "You're an idiot." We head up, check the whole room out, and take it in like I described above. We go over to the little bathroom where the gum incident happened and we recreated the scene. I stood at the sink, my buddy brushed my shoulder, and I turned around. Nothing. Absolutely nothing at all. We didn't feel coldness or freakiness, just plain old us on the top floor. We were a bit disappointed and we were saying things like, well, what did we expect? We noticed the weird music on the speaker in the elevator that we hadn't noticed coming up. It was a girl kind of singing, kind of laughing, very eclectic stuff. When we got off, we saw the cleaning dude from earlier and told him that we saw nothing. There was no ghost up there. Then my buddy mentioned the interesting choice of music in the elevator and the cleaning guy said, "What music?" And we replied, "The music in the elevator." He then pointed out that there is no speaker in the elevator. Never has been. We shit our pants, went back into the elevator cautiously because we couldn't believe that what we were hearing was not coming from a speaker. Being IT experts, we knew how to look for wires and speaker covers and such, and there was none. It was an old elevator that just wasn't wired for that. We noped the fuck out of that elevator and tried to avoid it for the rest of the time we worked there. Now entering the realm of the Freaky Deaky, an unsuspecting stop at the crossroads of fantasy and reality, where the frayed edges of make-believe seep into this cookie-cutter white picket world you've been led to believe is far from extraordinary. What you're about to hear are true stories.
Alleged true stories.
Christian, just... okay? Tales of the strange and inexplicable thought only to exist in film and folklore. Although difficult to accept, we do not know everything about this reality. About time or space, what lies beneath the ocean's depths. And try though we might, the unchanging truth remains. There are some things we legitimately cannot explain logically.
Yeah.
And welcome back to the Freaky Deaky. We're here. You saw me have to get in that headspace before I jumped in, right?
Yeah, I was a little worried there, man.
I was like zoning off into the multitude of stories on our wall. And I was like, it's time for me to open the episode, I think, now.
I thought you were possessed for a second.
I was possessed with a good time for our listeners. Welcome back to the Frinky Dinky, guys. We did it. We made it another week on this swirling death trap of a rock that we live on.
I think it's a wonderful place.
And we should all celebrate. Christian agrees. I am Scott. That is Christian. We are the hosts of this fine program, and there's a cloud in the room that I just can't take my eyes off of. It's just sitting there.
I was looking at that same cloud.
It's like
cloud
a weird
too.
Winding road. If you are new to the show, welcome. We love you. My name is Scott. My co-host and father-in-law in the cold seat over there, Christian. You'll be met with much skepticism and disbelief about the topics we cover, but it's fine. We're still having a good time here regardless. If you're new to the show, please take a moment out of your time and rate it 5 stars wherever you're listening. We're trying to get these reviews up, guys, and I am begging and pleading you every single episode to make that happen. And what are you doing? You're making it happen. I appreciate it. And more so, if you appreciate me appreciating that, be sure to let us know on social media. You can find us at Freaky Deaky Pod on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. You can find us at TFT Paranormal on TikTok, where we are taking over the TikTokies slowly, one day at a time. We are growing that audience. So if you come over from TikTok, welcome to the show. We appreciate you checking out the full episode. I know it's probably not as easy on your attention span as a 30-second TikTok clip is, but we appreciate you giving the A for effort.
If you're on TikTok, because you know, a lot of people won't go on there because of security concerns with China. Mm-hmm. But if you're on there, we're there. Entertain you in small doses.
Yeah.
Wherever you go, there we are. One of the things about this episode, I think you're going to get a paranormal story from a skeptic some point. So stay tuned.
That is true. Yeah. If you didn't know that, now you do. And if you have a story of your own, if you've worked in what we're doing with this particular episode is we're taking a look at haunted hotels and a bit of a different view than most paranormal podcasts do. You know, most of these people give you a run of the mill. Here's a list of hotels and these are the hauntings in them and blah, blah, blah. You've heard it all a million times. What we're doing is we're getting to the real meat and potatoes of these things. And we're finding stories from employees that worked in hotels that were allegedly haunted. And they're sharing their experiences from these haunted hotels instead of me being like, and then the Stanley Hotel was inspired by or blah 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 whatever, you know what I mean?
Isn't the Stanley the
Stanley is the Shining Hotel?
Yeah,
but was the one that's
the Overlook? I thought
Overlook. Yeah. So at the end, I did ask an AI search engine to prepare me a list of haunted hotels to see if, you know, if it was up to snuff. And guess what? It actually gave out a pretty decent list that we're deciding to either throw on a TikTok or I might just do it at the end of this episode and we'll. A little fun little AI segment for you.
I don't like AI, man.
Yay! Except you love AI, Christian, so I don't know why you're lying. So yeah, we're giving you actual stories from people that were employees at haunted hotels and not just giving you a rundown of what I'm sure you've heard a million times, specific haunted hotels in the country or the world or wherever, blah, blah, blah. So if you're a fan of that, stick around. Christian's got a little humdinger of an experience of his own that
because
he had while working at a haunted hotel.
Yeah, I used to work at a haunted hotel.
That's right. That's right. And on top of all of that, before we get into this next story, Christian and I were actually kind of talking about going to, in Anchorage, there's a haunted hotel called the Captain Cook. And we were considering going and staying a night in the haunted room. And
I don't recall.
Yeah, condoning. I made this without you.
Oh.
Nothing would happen to you, Christian. You would wake up and be like, I feel so refreshed. And you look over at me and I'd have crazy eyes and I'd be like, I heard stuff all night.
Yes.
So if you guys want to see that type of stuff, like maybe we'll record something or make little vlogs or something like that of us visiting some local haunts and doing that type of stuff. If you're interested in it, it is kind of more of a workload. And so it's not something that we have to do. But if people want to see that type of stuff, then we can, you know, schedule it for either in the summertime.
That's tourist season.
So we might have to do it in the winter either way.
Yeah.
So even creepier. Perfect.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to see that happen, then maybe we can make that happen for you guys. We are, once again, your puppets make us dance. Let's get into the stories.
That's what I'm here for.
This one is from Enrique Ring or Engikering. You know what? I'm over trying it.
Yes, you
and
are.
It's called Overnight at the Haunted Hotel. I worked as an overnight valet at a hotel that was converted from an abandoned late 1800s, early 1900s steel factory. To put it mildly, this place was a monument to human suffering. On Sundays, we were usually around 30% capacity, so most of the rooms were completely empty. Most Sundays, I would walk down to the lot around 2 a.m. and various curtains would be open and closed. And when I came back up, several of them would have changed from where they were when I left. I can think of multiple times where we had entire hallways completely empty, but the curtains would still change while I was checking the cars. Guests would regularly complain that the people above them were stomping around, and before we would call the room above them to ask them to quiet down, we would check to make sure it was actually occupied, because there's a 50% chance it wasn't most of the time. We would actually receive less noise complaints on nights where we were at capacity. I helped some guests move to another room after the noise woke them up more than once, and when I went back to grab their last bag, I heard it myself. It sounded like a grown man running. We sent someone to check the room. It was empty. We would also get a lot of calls from guests asking if someone had been into their room to clean, despite the Do Not Disturb sign on the door, because their belongings would have been moved, and of course, the curtains would have been moved as well. Our employee room in the basement was the worst. It had motion-sensitive lights that would turn themselves on. One night in particular, I was making a cup of coffee to take back upstairs when the lights in the bathroom came on. Then the motion-sensitive sink. Then the motion-sensitive toilet. Then the lights turned back off. Didn't go downstairs alone for a while. The absolute creepiest part of the hotel was one of the first buildings constructed, though. They kept the original wooden floors, and they creaked like crazy when you walked on them. I stopped running errands to that building. It wasn't part of my job, but I did it sometimes for the tips. After we received four calls from one of the rooms that was supposed to have been unoccupied, when I went to unplug the phone so we would stop getting what we were writing off as a short in the phone, I couldn't get into the room. The door rejected my card, the manager's card, and the override card. Just as I was getting into the elevator, I heard the electric lock open up. I went back and the card let me in. The phone wasn't even on the hook, and after giving a quick look around, the room was empty. I quit after a few months. Don't regret it. That would get annoying as hell pretty fast.
Yeah. Please let us be overbooked so we have no ghost.
Just constant phone calls. But can you tell whoever's upstairs to shut the hell up? And you're like, I would love to, but nobody's upstairs. So can you just imagine the customers that are sitting there, like the actual like guests of the hotel are like, oh, nobody's upstairs, huh? Well, what am I hearing, dude? But like, oh, I'd love to take you upstairs and show you myself. Please come along.
It's the ghost.
I don't know. I think I would like working at a haunted hotel to some extent. It depends on what the haunting was exactly. Like,
speaking from experience, you just do it.
You just do it.
Yeah. I mean, most people that work at hotels have to suffer through some stuff.
They really do be like that. Yeah.
I enjoyed my time working at hotels, though.
It seems like kind of like a laid back kind of job. Like, I don't know.
Laid back, not really laid back, but there's just, you know, you're meeting a lot of people, you're doing a lot of things, you're staying busy a lot of times. It's just, it was an enjoyable job.
That seems like an interesting one.
Yeah, definitely. And most hotels have ghosts.
That is true. Yeah, a lot of seedy, dark pasts these hotels harbor.
And this one that was a steel mill in the past seems like it's a lot worse than a regular hotel ghost.
I know.
Because those are people working really hard back in the day, and they didn't have like...
They just died on the spot.
Yeah, they didn't have rules and regulations like now.
Yeah, probably 4-year-old people working child labor.
Yeah.
All kinds of fun stuff. And like I said, it was like a monument to human suffering.
So that was perfect. Like,
yeah, that would do it. Creepy stuff all the same. This next one comes to us from Ickligram.
You know, I had something about the first story and we never got to it.
Yeah.
It was just weird observations. We can move on.
You had a couple of thoughts on the cold open story?
Yes. The guy was telling a story about Michael Milken, who is actually, like, he's brushing him off as not that big of a deal. Mm. Michael Milken is very famous in, like, the financial markets because he went to jail for racketeering.
Mm.
And
he did put a link
in the story that you could go check out. I think it was back in the 80s and, you know,
yeah,
like, he caused a major issue with, like, what he was doing with in the financial sector. Went to jail for a while, came out, and then went on speaking tours and basically would teach people about the financial industry.
About how to get away with fraud.
I don't know if he was teaching them that, but he was teaching the legitimate way, and he was still well respected. I mean, obviously, I just think it was a weird little callback. And do you remember which hotel that was that he was talking about? It was
Beverly Hilton, I believe.
Yeah, that's a famous haunted hotel.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've never actually heard too much about that.
Yeah, that's one of the ones you'll like you get the old school stories out of.
Well, I mean, they talk about, you know, Merv Griffin walking around. So
Merv Griffin owning it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was, yeah, Beverly Hilton.
For those of you guys that don't know who that is, he was a famous guy for the boomer generation.
Yeah, and that's exactly why Christian knows all the details about who he is.
Well, because I was raised by boomers. Yeah. They were watching that stuff, and so were their parents.
Yes, of course.
He was part of the programming back in the day.
Okay. Programming being the key word there, huh?
Yeah, I said that on purpose. So let's get back into the ghosts and hotels. Sorry to
interrupt your listening pleasure with Merv Griffin tales, but we'll do it every time.
Actually, we may have to look into him a little bit because I have heard ghost stories about him.
More than just one?
Yeah.
Welcome to the haunting of Merv Griffin.
Don't they make fun of him on Family Guy sometimes too?
Probably. Yeah. They make fun of everything on Family Guy, so it wouldn't, you know, really be too much of a stretch to believe. Yeah, so this next one is called The Room Still Haunts Me.
Ooh.
And it's by Iklagrim.
That name haunts me.
And I believe there may be a trigger warning in this. Take that however you will. Sounded like I was threatening it at first, but I just meant take it however you will. You know what I mean? Giving you a warning. It's fine.
You've been triggered.
If there isn't, then I'll remove me saying that, but I think this might be one with one.
Yeah.
He goes, I worked as a housekeeper at a haunted hotel for about a year. There's many stories I could tell, but there was this one room that fucked me up mentally for months. Still have nightmares about it now. So the hotel is a grade 2 listed building, a manor house that was converted into a hotel. It's said that the family who built and lived there had their bedrooms where room 1, 2, and 3 are now. The rooms are out of the way and down a dark corridor, which gives them an eerie feeling, but they're decent rooms. Number 2 is one of the biggest and most luxurious rooms to stay in. However, it's rumored that when the house was being converted, that the builders found a skeleton of a child in the fireplace. The fireplace that's still in that room. The room opens up to a long corridor, the bathroom on the left, and a super king bed in a huge living area looking over the gardens. I never felt right in there, but things got worse a few months in when I started having nightmares that I was being chased down the room's corridor. I'd never see what was chasing me, but I'd be filled with terror. The corridor would just keep going for what seemed like forever, but when I'd reach the door, there'd be no handle. I had that dream every night for months. My teeth got damaged from all the grinding and I was so exhausted that I could barely do the job. In the end, the place got me so depressed I was self-harming again, something I'd been clean of since I was a teen. Since quitting the job, that dream and my mental health started improving. The dream became much less frequent, but I still get it from time to time when things are bad. The whole hotel is toxic, but that one room still continues to haunt me. Spooky.
The baby burn room?
Yeah, I don't really know about like what to think about that story in particular, because I forget who said what, but there was someone that mentioned that there was, like, back in the day, it was considered almost like a ritual that you would put, like, the bodies of cats in fireplaces as, like, a protection. Like, almost like sorcery, like spell work or something like that. Like, so when they're building old houses, sometimes it's like a protection for the house. They would put like a dead animal in the walls. And so that's what someone thought might be in the fireplace. Like, it might not have been a baby. It might have been like a dead cat or something, like a skeleton of a cat or skeleton of a small animal, something like that. But I mean, either way, it's creepy. And I feel like a lot of the time energy is conveyed via dreams. Like, you can pick up on hauntings and stuff via dream. It's not always just like in your face, haunting, ghost, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of times if you're sleeping in a haunted location, you may not witness something, but you'll have really freaky dreams the entire time you're there. And then you'll leave and you'll be like, oh yeah. And then suddenly I didn't have those dreams anymore.
Because there's not that filter when you're dreaming. You can pick up on the things that are there, the energy. This person obviously...
some dark energy, if it seems.
Yeah, and I think certain people can pick up on dark energy easier than others.
Mm.
And what she started doing to herself after working there is, and it's pretty telling on the type of energy that place does have.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And you can't tell on hotels because, you know, we like to go on vacations and stuff like that. Hotels are great.
Mm-hmm.
But hotels also have a lot of bad stuff going on. And they always have. You never know what kind of misery is locked within those walls.
For sure. Especially because it was like converted from like an old manor house.
Right.
So how old is that thing? You know, imagine all the stories that happen there, especially if it's like some wealthy family or something like that, some kind of drama taking place. They murder their baby, put it in the fireplace.
You know, you always hear the nostalgia of people that want to go back, but
wasn't that great?
I mean, it may have seemed like it, but there's a lot of stuff like this going on all over the place.
And it probably is probably better if you had money, but that doesn't also make it. So, I mean, they didn't have iPhones, so how great could it have been? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like they had Wi-Fi. They were literally sitting there reading books and staring at each other.
I mean, they didn't even have YouTube. What's wrong with these?
Yeah, they had to open up paper with words on it.
What the hell
was their YouTube.
What the hell is that?
I don't even know. I don't know, man, but it sounds like a nightmare to me.
Yeah.
Right?
It's been in ancient times.
It was. In ancient times. Christian, you have a bit of a story yourself from a haunted hotel. Would you like to, in between stories here, we'll share your little take on it.
I can tell you this story and I can name the hotel because...
You don't work there anymore.
That, and it was torn down.
Oh, sad.
The hotel was the Desert Inn, not the one in Vegas. This one may be named around the same time. I think it was about the same age. It was in Lancaster, California. Mm. And it used to be a happening place in the area because it was on Sierra Highway, which used to be the main road through there. And it kind of wasn't as popular after they built the freeway.
What area was it? Like, do you remember like the cross streets or anything in Lancaster? Because I don't necessarily remember.
I think it was Avenue J, just before Avenue J, coming from Palmdale, the south.
Yeah, Desert Inn sounds familiar, but it's also a street in Vegas too. So it's like, I know I've seen it a million times in my life.
I mean, back in the day, this was the happening place. Like movie stars would stop in there on their way out to wherever they were going in the desert. Or
celebrity orgies and sacrificial offerings.
It was more than likely was filming because there were a lot of films out made in that area. And that's where I met Samuel Jackson.
Did he talk to you about motherfucking snakes in a plane or?
Talk about motherfucking Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah.
How many times did he swear?
None.
Really?
None at all.
Wow. Yeah, you picture him being someone that just like...
He was super
lights
nice.
The lamp. But oh, yeah, he strikes me as a really kind person.
Really tall. Taller than I expected.
He's like 6'5"?
Yeah. Seemed like that.
Yeah.
Wearing his golf shorts, 2 a.m, looking for a Coke. Not cocaine.
Looking for some Coke.
Looking for a Pepsi. All he wanted was a
all
Pepsi.
All he wanted was a Pepsi. Gotcha. Yeah.
But anyway... To the haunting. At the time, I was working like as a night auditor, which, you know, basically you're the only one working at the hotel at that time. It was me and a security guard that walked the grounds and hung out with me.
Nah.
And so we had a coffee shop and a restaurant there and a bar. Mm-hmm. So I'd have to go back and forth to get the totals for credit card receipts and all, you know, close out the credit card machine. So probably like 2 or 3 a.m, I go to the coffee shop. You know, I'd walk there every night that I worked and get the stuff. I didn't turn on the lights or anything. I knew that the hotel was haunted. My good friend Katie, who helped get me the job, had told me stories about the kitchen area right next to the coffee shop. And she would say that a lot of people would see someone looking out the little round holes, you know, that you see a lot of times in kitchens.
Little round holes?
Like a round hole window.
Oh, so on like the swinging doors.
Yeah,
like
so you can peek out and not knock anybody out.
Yeah.
So I walk in there. It's kind of creepy that night for some reason. I get the credit card machine taken care of and I start walking back toward the actual part of the hotel where I worked at, the front desk. And I just hear like this chorus of screaming. I was very rational. It scared the crap out of me. But I'm like...
You're like, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, and I may have shared this story on the podcast before, but...
You didn't go into a lot of detail, but you did briefly touch on it at some point.
The funny part is, there were windows in the coffee shop where you could kind of see into this little garden area.
Yeah.
It was like the thing to do in the 50s when you had a fancy hotel. And when the lights were off, basically it just reflected back at you. So you could look over and see yourself. So the minute I heard the screaming, first thing something in my brain says... Do not look at the windows.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to see something in there with me. And I didn't. I was like
adamant about it. Like, I'm not going to look at that.
This could be a question of keeping my sanity at that point.
Yes.
So I go back to the I go back to the front desk and I'm starting to work on my paperwork thinking that that's weird. So my security guard, George, walks in. And George was a great guy. He was like
90
in his 60s or something and just cool guy to work with all the time.
Shout out, George.
Yep.
RIP, probably.
Probably. And I told him what happened. And I'm like, okay, now I got to go I had to go back and close out the credit card machine after I got the totals and made sure everything was balanced. I'm like, I need you to go with me because I'm not going back in there alone.
Yeah.
So for like the next few weeks, every time I had to go in there, I made him go with me. And then eventually I got over it. But
yeah, it's fine, George.
Like, there's nothing like a bunch of screaming to scare the shit out of you in a hotel that already is known as haunted.
Can you imagine what might have happened if you did look in the reflection and you saw something? This might have been an entirely different podcast today, man. You might have been full-blown believer on this shit, been like...
I don't know, man. Sometimes you just know if you see something...
You say something.
No.
Oh.
A different show.
Oh, gotcha.
No, sometimes you know that you shouldn't see certain things. And yeah. It's those times where you still look anyway that get you.
It really do be like that.
And this time I was like, hell no.
And it's funny that the first thought in your head was, don't look at the... Because remember, I think when you first brought this up was when I was telling you about that time that I felt something watching me in my kitchen. And my first thought was, hey, don't look in the reflection of the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
But my dumb ass was like, what? Look in the reflection. And so I immediately looked in the reflection and see this gigantic like shadow figure standing in the entryway of the kitchen. So if I can almost guarantee that if you would have looked in the reflection, you would have seen something. Because I feel like it's something like drawing you, like almost trying to like trick you. Like, hey, don't look over here. Don't look over here. Just easing that curiosity enough for you to be like, I guess I'll just peek. What is it? You know?
Yeah. And that's the difference between you and I.
Yeah.
And probably why you're a believer and I'm sort of skeptical. Because the first thing my mind says is protect yourself.
Yeah.
And the first thing your mind says is I must look and be terrified.
I need the proof. I need to make sure. You're always talking about proof. I'm the one that actually is like, you know what? Only way for me to know for sure is if I look.
Some things I don't need proof with. You know, I may not believe in ghosts necessarily.
Yeah.
But there's something that causes some of these things. It could be ghost. I could be wrong.
I am willing to bet everything that I've ever believed on that statement alone, that you could be wrong.
I could be.
I'm willing to bet that you are. And with that, let's move into this next story from Tattoo Tanya. And it's called Guest in the Dark. I worked in a Marriott as a bartender. The restaurant side would close earlier than the bar. It was a giant room and set for next day's breakfast. There was a ceiling-high partition along the middle of the room. My bar was on the other side, along with the patio and pool. There was barely any staff at this time of night, basically myself and the front desk almost a block away. I had to walk through the restaurant to access the kitchen, similar to what you had to do.
Mm-hmm.
I usually did fruit prep late when it was slow. So many times I walked through the restaurant and saw an older lady sitting in the same seat by herself. And every time I would say, ugh, here we go. Dumb customer sitting in the dark. Too stupid to know the restaurant's closed. I would gear up for drama, but then she suddenly wouldn't be there. She didn't scare me. I prefer her over some entitled Marriott rewards members. While I worked there, a cop killed himself in the room. That hotel was known for people checking in and committing suicide. Maybe this should have had the trigger warning instead.
You can.
Did the wrong one.
You can check in, but you can never leave.
Yeah, the opposite of closing time. I also, it's a fun highlight on a very macabre moment in the story. I also worked at another haunted hotel before furlough, some kind of late night alone thing. That one was a guy. And I saw a blonde chick there too. Weird. That, I don't know, like maybe that doesn't creep this person out, but it would creep me out if I just walked through a restaurant and see someone sitting there in the dark.
I think you get used to it after a while.
A ghost, man? I can't imagine.
If you work at a hotel, I think you get used to that stuff. Because you spend any time working at a hotel, especially if you move around to a couple different ones, you're going to come across this kind of stuff. And people will tell you that they see somebody basically sitting there. And if you're lucky enough, like I was at the Desert Inn where I worked with old timers that had been working there since, like one of them I think had been working there since the 60s.
Wow.
And she'd seen all kinds of stuff. She'd worked in the coffee shop all that time. I believe her name was Dixie, which was a very coffee shop.
Which checks out for that time period. Yeah.
And she was cool, but she'd been there through, you know, like the big famous times where movie stars were popping in. At the time I worked there, movie stars would stay there because they were filming in the area, not necessarily because they were coming by the only fancy hotel in the Antelope Valley at the time.
Dixie, get out of here.
She had a 60s hairdo still, too. And well, when I first worked there with her, it was the 80s because I worked there right out of high school.
Hmm.
And then I came back and worked there. I started there September 10th, 2001 at the hotel.
2001. Wow. That's right about when I was starting sixth grade. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious to think about.
I do recommend working at hotels, though, especially early on in your life. It's quite an experience. Work at a good one or a bigger one with.
Or a shitty one. You probably get better stories.
Yeah.
Work at one where your life is in danger at least 3 days a week.
Yeah. I'll probably, throughout the podcast, I'll probably have a couple more stories from that hotel. But that's the paranormal one.
Just the one.
Just the one. I mean, man. Like I said, a lot of people had seen somebody looking out that little window in the kitchen.
And you heard screaming. You yeah. heard like a 80s Baptist choir of screaming.
No, it was like
hell was breaking loose.
Tortured soul screaming.
That, no,
and it was a lot of people.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
That's, man, why didn't you look, Christian, you dingus?
I tried to convince myself it was the wind because the Antelope Valley is windy, but I'd never, you know, when you.
It's not a chorus of tortured hell souls screaming windy.
And I'd been in that coffee shop when it was windy outside and I'd never heard that sound.
So it was kind of distance. It wasn't like close.
It was all around me, like right above me.
Weird.
Behind me, in front of me. It was.
That's unsettling.
Yeah. And I was the only person in this group of buildings because the security guard was out walking the ground. So, you know, I had the front desk. I walked down a hall through a door, through the little garden, into the coffee shop. And then you go to the restaurant and the bar. I had to make that trek every night. You know, I'd gotten to the point where I did it in the dark. And after that moment, all the lights went on for a while.
Yeah. 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 Every time I'd see something scary, like it doesn't matter what room I'm walking into, the light is on.
Yeah.
Like the hallway, gotta go to the bathroom, hallway light goes on, bathroom light goes on, bedroom light goes on. Like nothing's going to be popping out of this darkness to get me.
Yeah, I'll still walk through darkness like at home. But
or just in your personal life.
Yeah, but there's certain places I don't look in both my home and my personal life.
Really?
Because obviously that same part of my brain is like.
That's where the demons are.
Yep.
Got to keep them at bay.
And that's how skeptics live their life.
Knowing that demons exist, but not looking directly at them.
Yeah, plausible deniability.
Good night, everyone. No, this next one is stories from the Stanley.
So we're going there.
Yeah, we're not going there per se, but the person that worked at the hotel that was inspired by the Overlook. The Stanley Hotel is the one in the movie, and it's inspired by the Overlook. Or is the Overlook in the movie inspired by the Stanley?
I don't remember.
I honestly can't remember right now. But regardless, this guy worked at the hotel and is sharing some stories from the hotel.
He worked at the hotel that Stephen King used to go to to write stories.
Yeah.
And then he got freaked out by the hotel he was writing stories in back in the 70s, I believe, right?
Yes. That is the way it goes. He says, I used to live and work at the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado. So maybe it was the Overlook is in the movie.
Yeah,
and
I think
the Stanley is the actual.
Because that makes more sense. Overlook is much more cinematic or sounding.
Yeah.
Than the Stanley. Could be one of those like Mandela effects.
Hmm. Yes, you let us know. Which is it?
Yes.
Just kidding. Don't tell us how stupid we are, please.
I was just trying to help you out there.
Yeah. Let us know in the comments. Are we idiots? Yeah, okay. I used to live and work at the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, and have tons of stories. If you haven't heard of it, this hotel is where Stephen King stayed and was inspired to write The Shining, but not where the movie was filmed. I was a ghost and history tour guide for the summer, so I have a whole list of crazy things that I experienced and stories. A few of the more interesting personal experiences I had while working there. I was sitting in our dorm, and a picture in the hallway fell off the wall and shattered. Doesn't seem weird until I looked at it and it was laying on the ground face up, almost as if someone took it off the wall and slammed it on the ground. My coworker and I were sitting in her room drinking and someone came angrily stomping up the stairs and down the hallway. Why do you think your mouth keeps getting so dry, Christian? What do you think? Why do you think that keeps happening?
Can you not judge me?
My coworker and I were sitting in her room drinking and someone came angrily stomping up the stairs and down the hallway. We were thinking we were busted. Then the person got to her door, turned the knob, and opened it, but there was no one there. That's creepy. No, you got someone coming up, like, stomping up the stairs, literally opens your door, and there's nothing there. Like, it's not you opening the door. Something comes up to your door, opens it, and you're just staring in there like, how much have we been drinking that just happened?
You know, I gotta say, I've heard those. I mean, at the hotel I worked at, I'd hear stories like that a lot.
Hmm.
And you chalk them up to weird things, but you know, deep down, if you've been at a hotel and heard the stories, you become a believer after a while because some of the people telling you these stories are rational people that have experienced weird things.
They really do be like that.
And this hotel that is notorious for these kinds of things. I mean, I think it's fascinating. I'd love to hear all this person's stories about that particular hotel, because it scared Stephen King.
Yeah, and that takes a little bit to do, I feel like.
Yeah.
Unless he's writing books and he's like, oh, that terrified me. I got to put this down for a moment. I'm a little jittery after reading that. After writing that out, I think I need to take a break.
He doesn't ever take a break. Also, we need to stay at this hotel.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I know China and I want to take a trip to Colorado and just meander about. So maybe we plan it in where we just all go and stay at this hotel.
Yep. Oh, you guys will go wander about. I'll go hang out with my sister.
Yeah, I don't know how far away Estes Park is from like Denver or any of the cool areas of Colorado, but or maybe that is one of the cool areas of Colorado. Who knows? We'll make it happen for the podcast. It'll be a write-off.
We'll bring a Ouija board.
Christian?
No? Still not in on that one?
Christian, it's never going to work. Okay. The final story was, it was known that there was a creepy brothel owner that liked to haunt the hotel. One time I was giving a tour and talking about this creepy old man, and my hair got tugged and no one was behind me. People on the tour thought I was faking it, but I'm a terrible actor. That'd be kind of creepy.
Yeah, it would
that
be.
Reminds me of like the Rose Hall. Like I said, when we were in Jamaica, China, and I went to the Rose Hall, and it was just us on the tour, and the tour guide was like walking us into a room, and she was like, "Wait, did you hear that?" And I'm like, "What?"
Was the Rose Hall, is that a plantation or a former plantation?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's that book right there. It's a big old one.
We all know.
Oh, so that book was $5, dude. That was a big ass book, hardcover, and it was $5.
How much do you think it would have cost at like Barnes and Noble?
Like $85, probably. Like
probably
literally.
Why there's no more Barnes and Noble.
Yeah. So, and like I had to literally hold the book up like in front of them, be like, this book right here is $5. And she's like, yes, $5. I'm like, not the paperback version, not the pamphlet version. This book that I'm holding is $5. Like, yes, $5. Okay. I will take this and a tiny drum. Thank you. And now my son chews on that drum. Anyway, those are pretty fun ones. I have a lot more one-offs, like getting crazy pictures with figures in them, smelling Mrs. Stanley's perfume as she walks past, couches moving around, etc. Everything was pretty lighthearted and not too freaky, but a great place to visit. That feels like it's going to be a great place for us to visit someday. And at that point, we would talk about it, but we're not going to do like an episode on the Stanley Hotel. Until that happens, until we experience it for ourselves. How's that?
We can go stay at the Manger in Texas, too.
Yeah, the Mangala Hotel.
No, that's a different person from South America and Germany. But the Manger was a hotel I stayed at that is famous for its hauntings. And it is right across the street. It's in San Antonio, right across the street from the Alamo. So that tells you the area it's in.
I remember this story, but I don't remember when you told it.
Yeah, sometime. It's not. I didn't experience anything. I did.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
Why
maybe that's why I heard.
Yeah.
That was the bathroom ghost, right?
Yeah, that was the bathroom ghost that kind of freaked me out. And now that I've mentioned it, since we probably have new listeners.
Yeah, go ahead. Share it around.
All right. So this is in a very old hotel in San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah. One you're just staying in. You didn't work at this one.
No, I did not work at this one, but it was for work. I went there for a safety conference. And, you know, this hotel, it had used to have presidents, and Babe Ruth stayed there back in the 20s and stuff like that.
Wow.
And when you went into the bar, the bar was the original bar from the hotel, except for one section, because back in the day, there was this group of women that went around trying to shut down places with alcohol.
Nice.
And one of the women would bring in like a hatchet and attack the bars. So she did it at this bar, and they just replaced like a little wedge a couple feet across where she chopped up the bar, and that still is still there. But anyway, I'm in this hotel for this conference. I'm in the haunted section, and I actually did walk around filming, trying to catch stuff, and I never did catch anything.
When was this? When, like, what year was this, you think?
10 years ago, maybe.
Like 1945 or?
10 years ago.
Oh, 10 years. Sorry.
Scott's not good with math.
1913. Wait, that's 100 years ago.
Yeah.
110 years ago.
No, 10 years ago. Because I lived here in Alaska when I went there. So I go to my room and I'm getting ready to go to bed because I have to be up early for the conference the next morning.
Yeah.
And so I have a certain routine I do when I stay at a hotel just to feel safer or something.
A little more at home. Yeah.
Right. And I always shut the bathroom door because who knows what's in the bathroom that could be looking out at me in the middle of the night.
Unflushed poopies.
I mean, I was going with demons or something, even though I don't necessarily believe, but you got to be safe. Yeah, it was a nice room. So I went out to the front area because it was a bedroom and then the... fuck, I feel like a Reddit story right now.
So anyway, there I was.
The curtains were...
enjoying the view of the room.
Yeah, the curtains were this particular chemise fabric. I don't know what that means. But anyway, so I go to turn off the light in the other room. Come back in. Bathroom door is wide open. I'm like, okay, that's weird. Obviously, I'd been to the bar, so I'm like, did I forget because I was drunk? But I hadn't had that much. So I go over to the door and I start, you know, pushing on it to see if it just opens and closes easily. It
was, you do this on your own?
Yeah, it was a pretty solid door. It's an older style hotel. So I'm like, okay, I have to go to sleep because I have to be up early.
Yeah.
What do I do? My solution was sleeping with my back to the bathroom door.
Yeah, your back toward the thing that could take you out.
Yes.
Smart move. But that is also the move of many people that witness scary things. Like, I guess I will be sleeping the other direction. I mean, gotcha.
Yeah, you don't want to see it coming. Yeah,
gotcha, it's, spirit. You can't take that.
If it's the end, it's the end. But you don't want to. He died with a shocked and terrified look on his face. I don't want that.
Why not?
For
That'd
my
be
family.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Derek, do you want an open casket? He's looking pretty creepy right now, but it's fine, really. Papa. No, that's...
It's not as exciting as the Desert Inn story, but...
Still, man. I mean, some of the creepy, like, especially if you're alone and anything happens, it can be creepy. Like, it doesn't have to be much of anything at all.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you closing a door, going to a different section of the room, coming back and the door is open is enough. Like, I'd be like, you know what? It's time. Because actually, while we're on the subject of haunted hotels and stuff, when we were in Jamaica, the room that we stayed in, I'm not sure if there was something off about it, but I vaguely remember hearing a story about this particular like suite that we're in. Inside the closets, like they had the kind of like magnetic latch or like where you kind of push and it locks and just open up, push again, it opens up. And inside, whenever you'd open that door, the inside had a motion light that would just turn on. And so you'd open the closet, motion light would turn on. There's a safe in there that would make noise if you opened it or whatever. And there was, I think it was the first night that we were there, or maybe it's the second night. China is fast asleep, bless her. But I remember just sitting there like in bed watching TV, and I'd see through the slats, I guess, of the closet door, I'd see the light just, and I'd hear it go, and the light would just turn on. And then I'd be like, okay, weird. And then it'd turn off after a minute. And I'd hear like something with the safe itself, almost like the safe opened. Like you hear it's like a poof. Like there's noises that you can just like be like, oh, this is 100% the noise that this makes. And I swear I heard the safe. I saw, and like two or three of the nights that we were there and the eight that we stayed there, there was that closet light going on and off. And there was one time, I think it was, I forget what happened exactly, but China was doing something. Like she was getting ready to go down to the beach and she felt something grab her when she was by the closet. So she was like putting clothes or something and she thought it was me. And she was like, did you just grab me? I was like, no. And so there's something weird about our room. I mean, I was in that room alone a lot of the time. There's nothing in that room that I was like totally freaked out about. But just the fact that there was a few small incidents that took place there where you're like, did someone die in this room or they just handed us the haunted room? We get a discount with this. What happens? You know, but it was Jamaican and the jerk chicken made it worth it. The haunting was worth the jerk chicken.
There's always something worth dealing with hauntings. And sometimes it's not as good as jerk chicken, but
I hope some of our listeners have creepy hotel stories and they send them in too. Cause I feel like there's a lot of people that experience weird shit at hotels and then they just act like, yeah, that was fine. Yeah, whatever.
We were just talking on another episode about Marlene in Texas, right?
In Texas, Marlene in Texas.
Marlene, please tell us that you've stayed at the Manger Hotel and you have experiences. Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't, now's the time. Get out there, girl.
Yep.
Go chase those ghosts.
We'll make you the first official ghost chaser of the pod.
Yeah. You can be a TF diplomat, if you will.
Ooh.
The freaky diplomat.
Set up the hauntings.
Yeah.
So that we can experience them when we get there. Make peace with the demons.
Yeah.
So they don't possess us.
Those are things that you could do. Sure.
Yeah.
First. Or you just go sleep in the room and let us know if anything happened.
That works.
Dealer's choice on that one. You decide what you want to do, Marlene, and we'll sit here to tell the story of it.
Play with the Ouija board since Scott
Marlene,
won't let me do it.
I'm going to go ahead and put the kibosh on that. Say that's a horrible idea. Let's not do that. But what's a great idea is getting to this final story. And it's called The Floating Amorphous Blob.
I don't know what
this is. I know it's not about. No.
Amorphous. Amor? Love?
Yeah. The floating love blob.
No.
Sounds a lot weirder when it comes out like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it says, I worked in a casino in the early 2000s. It's in a really lovely building constructed mid-1880s. So, of course, it's going to be haunted, right? There were a couple hallways in a room on the second floor of the hotel which spooky stuff occurred. A strange object, sometimes gray or black, was seen. One afternoon shift, a guy I worked with had to be sedated by a paramedic. He was so panicked. I heard this secondhand as I was working elsewhere at the time, so all I knew was Alvin had to go to the hospital urgently. He was met there by Simon and Theodore. No, I'm just kidding.
I was thinking the same thing.
I had to get that out of the way. I'm sorry. The story Alvin told was he was cleaning the hot section of one of the restaurants in preparation for the service that night. No one else was there. Alvin apparently saw a black shape with no real defined edge just drift across the kitchen through the wall into the adjoining room where this thing apparently had been seen before. It made no sound. He only looked up because it appeared in his peripheral vision. He was a Filipino guy, really nice fella, devout Catholic. After that, he wouldn't work in the kitchen alone. Alvin! No. Yeah, it's fine. Weird. Just a floating amorphous blob.
That's what some ghosts are.
Enough to literally get this guy like sedated by paramedics because he was freaking out that much.
That's pretty bad. I feel
like there's something Alvin's not sharing about that story. Unless he's just like, you know, on edge as it is. And he's just like, what the? You know, devout Catholic, maybe that upbringing and seeing something paranormal kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe there was a reason this
blob was following him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he had a guilty conscience.
Yeah. Felt really bad about leaving Simon and Theodore.
I don't think he left Simon and Theodore. I think it was murder.
I think they joined him in the form of amorphous blob. Really? Really weird.
I would have never thought we would take a ghost story to the chipmunks.
Yeah. Well, we do things, as I said in the beginning of this episode, we do things just a little bit different here at the Frinky Dinky. And
I would love to come back to haunted hotels again.
You mean like do an episode?
Yeah.
Or I thought you meant like we had gone on such a strange tangent with Alvin and the Chipmunks that you would love for us to bring it back.
I mean, that works too, but
yeah, I'm sure there's people out there that for once on this podcast history agree with you. And they're like, I really wish they'd bring it back. But
I bet you there's other people that are like, damn it. Now I'm hearing the chipmunks singing in my mind.
Yeah.
Like when I was a little kid.
And for those people, let's get a nice palate cleanser. I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that I was bugging around with a bit of AI and I just wanted to test some things and see how it played out. And I was originally going to use this as like a TikTok video or something like that. But I'm going to share with you what the artificial intelligence decided were some of the top haunted hotels. And I'm going to be honest with you, I maybe know two out of like the seven of these that came up. So it did a really good job, as long as they're factual. I didn't look into any of them yet. But so yeah, asked AI to come up with some haunted hotels, and it did not disappoint. Number one, the Queen Mary Hotel in Long Beach, California, USA. This former ocean liner is said to be haunted by ghosts of former passengers and crew members.
You've heard that one.
Pretty basic. Yeah. Basic stuff.
Everybody knows Queen Mary.
Starting off light. This next one, the Banff Hot Springs Hotel, which I wish I would have known of when China and I were in Banff.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah. Bro, maybe we stayed there. Maybe I just didn't know.
No, I don't think did it have hot springs?
You don't think I could? Yeah. Actually, I think it did.
Okay.
Well, we went to hot springs while we were up there. I don't think we stayed at that place, but we did go to the, so maybe we did go there. Who knows?
Bigfoot territory.
Ask her. Yeah, I have to ask her. She's the one that with the memory in this relationship. Guests have reported ghostly sightings, including a bride who died on her wedding day and a bellhop who still makes his rounds. That'd be a creepy thing to see. The Myrtles Plantation in St. Francisville. In St. Francisville, Louisiana, this antebellum plantation turned bed and breakfast is said to be haunted by the spirits of former owners and slaves.
I was going to say, doesn't antebellum mean slave?
Yeah, Lady Antebellum
just
means lady slave. Yeah, think about that, country music fans. Anyway, this next one is the Hotel Chelsea in New York City. This hotel has a long history of hauntings, including the ghosts of former residents like Sid Vicious and Dylan Thomas. I think, is that the one that American Horror Story based? No, that's based off something else. You know, it's too early. I'm going to stop trying to connect things.
Sid and Nancy is a great movie.
There you go.
From back in the day about Sid Vicious.
And Nancy Vicious.
No, her name was, I think, Nancy Spungen.
Yeah, so Christian's just over here making shit up now. Nancy Spungen.
Courtney Love auditioned for that role.
Cool. So bringing her back, Obviously, it's going to put the Overlook Hotel. The inspiration for Stephen King's The Shining, the Overlook Hotel is said to be haunted by ghosts of former guests and employees. Riveting. This one I had never heard of, the Ballygally Castle Hotel.
Where's that?
It's in Ballygally, Northern Ireland.
Oh, okay.
I hope I'm saying that right. I hope it's Ballygally and not like Ballygally or Ballygally.
I mean, people understand Ballygally. That we're not,
no, we're not people from don't the understand. Region. You'd think
one person didn't understand. You would think
people understand, Christian, but people far from understand. They get hella defensive about shit.
Not regular people.
I still make fun of Belief Hole for calling Wasilla Wasilla. Okay.
That's pretty bad.
They messed up only once.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys should have done better on that. It's okay, guys. It's
not
fine.
Even spelled Wasilla.
You know what?
We love you guys, though.
Yeah. I have made so many mistakes of my own in the last episode, I tried Frenching up Kansas. I said Belois.
Oh, I remember.
When it was probably
that.
Beloit.
I remember that one.
Who knows? So, you know, I've been in the hot seat. I get it. I get it, guys. We still love you.
I have not.
Anyway, this 17th century castle turned hotel is said to be haunted by the ghost of Lady Isabel Shaw, who died there in the 1660s. And then this one I'm definitely going to mess up. And from Wales, it's called the Skirrid Mountain Inn. And it's in Abergavenny. Abergavenny.
I'm pretty sure.
Abergavenny. Maybe.
I don't think
so. If you're listening from Wales, do me a favor. Just
tell us how to say it.
Yeah, fluff my ego a little bit and say I did it right. This inn dates back to the 11th century and is said to be haunted by the spirits of those who were hanged there in the past.
Ooh.
So definitely not a fun haunting. Not one you want to take your mom to.
But the ones with the hangings are the best hauntings.
That is true. That is true.
Sadly.
Yeah. So if you want to have a really great time, ask around your local shops and neighborhoods and say, where were the people hanged from? Because I'm looking to have a good time.
Especially if you're in Europe. Europe's
lots of hangings.
Lots of executions.
Yes. Fun stuff always. Yeah. And in TFD tradition, Christian has ended the episode on a sad note. That's fine, guys. That's fine. We let him do what he wants to do here. It's fine.
The truth is sad, man.
Sometimes the truth is sad. And he's punk now. And he's flashing black nail polish.
I would think that that's called emo now.
He's emo now. Sorry.
Punk's not really a thing anymore.
Yeah, he's just emo. He's got such long hair. We talked about it before it started. His hair is so long. He's got the eyeliner.
Remember
the Pete Wentz eyeliner. And he's rocking the black fingernails, guys.
Remember when
his
mom bought him a yellow shirt and he freaked out?
I do remember that.
Got to be all black, man.
That's right. So anyway, that closes out the episode on, once again, a weird note. Oops. Sorry about that.
Oops, I did it again.
Wow.
I played with your heart.
Okay.
Sorry.
Goodbye. Just kidding. Thank you for sticking with us. If you're still here at the end, appreciate it. We are about to go take a little man and get some breakfast. And yeah, so we'll see you right back here next week on the Freaky Deaky. Follow us on social media. Sound off in the comments. If you're not already, check out and subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're trying to grow that a little bit. And we need all the help we can get. If you guys want to help us spread the word and share the show on social media, please do, man. We really appreciate it. And yeah, that's it. I'm not going to talk your ears off. Send in your haunted hotel stories to the gang at thefreakydeaky.com. Or just comment them on the video if you're listening on YouTube or social media, wherever you want. We'll pick it up for you. We're pretty great like that.
And if you have a suggestion, send it our way.
That's right. And we'll see you right back here next week on the Freaky Deaky. Good night, everyone.